نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Amma ba'du. Sisters, we've been continuing this class now, alhamdulillah, for quite some time, and I think I really need some feedback from the sisters as to some of the issues or maybe questions that they felt haven't been addressed so that we can address them. And as far as where we had begun last week, and I was trying to deal with those issues that pertain to the women, I don't think that I'm going to continue much of it. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ خَيْرُ. Today, inshallah ta'ala, if the sisters have some issues that they feel need to be addressed, they should mention that, and we'll cover a few more issues, and then I just have some words of advice, inshallah ta'ala. Mustafa al-Ajwi, حَفَظُهُ اللَّهُ, he says, chapter, وَلَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ نَقْطَ طَائِرِهَا عند غسلها من الجنابة. Chapter, it is not compulsory for a lady to take out her braids when she makes a ghusl from janaba. When she makes a ghusl from janaba, and this is a ghusl for other than the reasons of her menstrual cycle. He brings the hadith of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, who says, حدثنا أبو بكر بن أبي شيبة وعمر الناقد وإسحاق بن إبراهيم وابن أبي عمر كلهم عن ابن عيينة قال إسحاق أخبرنا سفيان عن أيوب بن موسى عن سعيد بن أبي سعيد المقبري عن عبد الله بن رافع مولى أم سلمة عن أم سلمة قالت قلت يا رسول الله إني امرأة أشد ظفر رأسي فأنقضه لغسل الجنابة قال لا إنما يكفيك أن تحثي على رأسك ثلاث حثيات ثم تفيضين عليك الماء فتطاهرين. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says that it was reported to us by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba and Amr al-Naqid and Ishaq ibn Ibrahim and Ibn Abi Umar, all of them on the authority of Ibn Uyayna, who said that Ishaq said, it was reported to us by Sufyan on the authority of Ayyub ibn Musa, on the authority of Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqdari, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Rafi', the Mawla of Salama, on the authority of Salama, qalat, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed I am a lady with a lot of braids in my hair, or something similar to that. Do I have to take out my braids when I make a ghusl from janaba? He said, no, it is sufficient for you to scratch your hands and your head and to pour the water over your head and to purify yourself. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is showing the women that, and this narration of Imam Muslim, that they don't have to take out their braids when they make a ghusl. It's just that they have to make sure that the water goes all through their hair and through their scalp when they make a ghusl. There is one of the narrations that adds from the janaba and the hayd, the ghusl from the janaba and the ghusl from the menstrual cycle, and that this addition and some of the narrations
Many of the ulama, they feel that this edition is not an authentic edition to the hadith, but that what is correct from the hadith is that it is only referring to the ghusl of the janaba, meaning from either a wet dream or from intercourse, and not the ghusl from afterbirth bleeding or from the menstrual cycle. The next chapter, Mustafa al-Adawi, hafizahullah, he brings this inkaru a'ishata radiallahu anha ala abdillah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma lama amara nisa bi naqdi ru'usihinna inda al-ghusl. Chapter Aisha going against Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhum when he told the women to take a loose their braids when they made a ghusl. And he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, who says حدثنا يحيى بن يحيى وأبو بكر بن أبي شيبة وعلي بن حجر جميعا عن ابن علي قال يحيى أخبرنا إسماعيل بن علي عن أيوب عن أبي الزبير عن عبيد بن عمير قال بلغ عائشة رضي الله عنها أنا عبد الله ابن عمر يأمر النساء إذا اغتسلنا أن ينقضن رؤوسهن فقالت يا عجبا لابن عمر هذا يأمر النساء إذا اغتسلنا أن ينقضن رؤوسهن أفلا يأمرهن أن يحلقن رؤوسهن لقد كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد ولا أزيد على أن أفرغ على رأسي ثلاث إفراغات. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says, it was reported to us by Yahya ibn Yahya and Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba and Ali ibn Hajar, all of them on the authority of Ibn Aliya. And Yahya said it was reported to us by Ismail ibn Aliya on the authority of Ayyub, on the authority of Abi al-Zubayr, on the authority of Ubayd ibn Umayr, who said that it had come to Aisha radiallahu anha that Abdullah ibn Amr used to command the women when they made a ghusl to take their braids out. Aisha, she said, I'm surprised that this son of Amr, who commands the women to take a loose their braids when they make a ghusl, why don't he tell them to shave their heads? I used to make a ghusl with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from one container, and I wouldn't do any more than pour the water over my head three times. Here we see Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha making it clear, inshaAllah ta'ala, that what is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam for the women when they make a ghusl from the janaba is that they pour the water over their head when they make a ghusl, and they don't have to take out their braids. They just have to make sure that the water is going through their hair and down to their scalp. Also, we see something in this hadith, and I want to take the time to point it out. And that is that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she heard something that was in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she spoke against it. And we see how strongly she spoke against it, as she is saying, I'm surprised that so and so would say such and such. Why doesn't he even do such and such? And this is the example of the people of knowledge who came from us. And this is our position, inshaAllah ta'ala, as we try to stand on the Qur'an and the Sunnah with the understanding of our righteous predecessors, that we want to stand on what is the truth. And that we're amazed at the people who don't want to stand on the truth, and that we take the opportunity to correct the wrong when we see it. And whether someone uses strong terms as Aisha did radiallahu ta'ala anha, or something lesser than that, then all of that is okay. And that the brothers and the sisters alike, they don't have leeway to say, I don't like the way he told me that. He told you the truth, you have to say, I hear and I obey. And if you don't like that, then take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because it's better that you take your medicine, shove down your throat, than not to have it at all. And this is the position of the people who try to stand on the Quran and the Sunnah, that people are against us and they're angry with us and mad at us because we try to point out that which is correct. Are you going to be upset with someone because he told you that which was correct? This is the deen of Islam. And the people, all of us, we have to understand as we accepted Islam yesterday and every day, inshallah ta'ala, we're learning more and more and more of Islam. And maybe some of the things we do, if not many of the things that we do, are against Islam. When someone brings the truth, maybe we're not in a good mood. Are we going to blame him because we weren't in a good mood when he brought us the truth? Or we didn't like his tone of voice? Or we thought that we needed a better relationship before he could tell me to practice Islam properly? This is the deen of Islam, and it's upon us to advise one another and to call one another to the truth and to correct one another when they're wrong. Is anyone happy with treading the path to the hellfire and his brothers are watching him and he wants them to be quiet? All of us, we want our brothers and our sisters to inform us of what is the truth so that we can stay on the straight path, the path that's going to Jannah. And of course, all of us, and we should tell our friends and the people around us and make the statement, and I want to be the first one to make the statement, that anytime someone sees me doing opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah, that he should just tell me, in any voice he wants to tell me, it's okay with me if he says, I'm surprised at you. Imam of the Masjid, is you're doing that? Inshallah ta'ala, it's okay with me, even if I act up when I hear it. InshaAllah ta'ala, in my heart, I'm happy that someone can come to me and bring me the truth, because we want to be on the Salatul Mustaqeem. And this should be all of our attitudes. Even if we act upset at the beginning, we should go back and apologize to the brother. Akhi jazak Allahu khayran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you the success to come to me and to present the truth to me so that I can be a part of the truth, as we see from this example. And those people who think, and they think, and this is only a way not to let the sunnah go forth, and try to stop the sunnah from spreading, as they say, yeah, he was telling this brother such and such, he didn't even take a chance to know him. He could have at least waited a couple of weeks so that the brother could have died on that falsehood before he told him. Yeah, what are we going to wait for? We're brothers in Islam. And how close can we get than being brothers? Is someone going to get closer than he is to his brothers already? Really, we have to advise one another to that which is correct, and the people, they have to accept it. When the truth comes to them, they have to accept it, and they have no reason to be in opposition to the people of the truth like we see. Akhi, I think you should grow your beard. Oh, why come after that? He don't know my circumstances, my case, my Akhi, just say Jazakallahu khayran. And this is the attitude that we should have if someone calls us to Islam, whether it's a big point or a small point. And I'm saying that to say that this is the way that people view Islam, that they're going to decide what's a big point and what's a small point, and say only advise me to the big points and don't advise me to the small points. Whether he sees it to be big or small, he has to take that advice. And then to know on top of it, we don't have the option to say this is big and this is small, except that Allah said the issue of growing the beard is a minor issue. Whoever is slack in it, then okay. Is there a hadith that says, the ayah in the Quran that says that? Is there a hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that says this issue is so small and minor, overlook it? As some of the people used to say about straightening the rows. I'm amazed that the brother, he's the imam of the masjid, he's checking every row, every person to make sure he's straight. Man, he's like a tyrant over the people on something so small. And many people, they say that the straightening of the rows is something small. And you see in many masjids, people don't try to keep the rows straight. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, our hearts will be divided for not straightening the rows. You're trying to put your foot together. He says, Akhi, you worrying about that? The ummah is divided. You worrying about putting my foot next to your foot. You tell him this is why the ummah is divided, because your foot's not next to my foot. The ummah is divided because his foot is not next to his foot. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's the one that gave us this. No one should use his own intellect to decide, now is the time for me to accept that truth. Right now I don't want to hear it. No one has the option to decide. This issue is a small issue. Don't even bring that to me. This is a more important issue. Deal with it now. But that we have to accept the truth when it comes to us. And the people who know it, they have to present the truth to the people. The sunnah is that which will save us. And we have to bring the sunnah to ourselves and our families and to the Muslims so that the Muslims can be saved. Like we have mentioned from the example of one of the ulama of Islam that said, the sunnah is like Noah's Ark. It's like Noah's Ark. Not that the sunnah is Noah's Ark, but that the sunnah is like Noah's Ark. Whoever gets aboard it is saved, and whoever doesn't is drowned or destroyed. So here we see Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and I just wanted to point that out, that she's going against the statement of someone saying something against Islam and even belittling it. As she said, why don't he even just tell them to shave their heads? And this is Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he's one of the scholars of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not just a regular one, but one of the scholars radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the one that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that there's only one person from among the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that knows more hadith than me, and that's Abdullah ibn Amr, because he writes the hadith down, if I'm not mistaken. The next chapter he brings, rahimahullah, hafadahullah, is hadith Thawban radiallahu anhu, is the hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhu. And this is the hadith of Abu Dawood radiallahu anhu, where he says, Hadathana Muhammad ibn Awf qala qara'tu fi asli Ismail ibn Ayyash قال ابن عوف وحدثنا محمد بن إسماعيل عن أبيه قال حدثني ضمضم بن زرعة عن شريح ابن عبيد قال أفتاني جبير ابن نفير عن الغسل من الجنابة أن ثوبان حدثهم أنهم استفتوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فقال أما الرجل فلينشر رأسه فليغسله حتى يبلغ أصول الشعر وأما المرأة فلا عليها أن لا تنقض أن تنقضه لتغرف على رأسها ثلاث غرفات بكفيها. And this is authentic. وأبو داود رحمه الله, he said, it was reported to us by Muhammad ibn Awf, who said that I read in the origin of Ismail ibn Ayyash, who said Ibn Awf said and it was reported to us by Muhammad ibn Ismail on the authority of his father, who said it was reported to me by Dhanbab ibn Zura on the authority of Shurayh ibn Ubayb, who said that Jubair ibn Nufayr asked us about the ghusl from Janaba, and that Thawban gave us the verdict of the ghusl from Al-Janaba, and he quoted the hadith of Thawban, who said that we asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that, and he said, as for the man, he should part his hair when he washes it so that the water goes to the scalp of his head. He should part his hair like and let the water to go through it when he makes the ghusl. And think that this seems to be a little overdoing it, remember that there weren't showers just coming over your head where the water is bound to get to the scalp, but that they were in like a tub area, and they were digging their hands in a bucket in order to pour it over them like that, and they had to make sure that they parted their hair in order for the water to get to the scalp and to get to every part of the hair. And as for the lady, then she doesn't have to take or loose her braids, but it is sufficient for us, for her, to have three handfuls of water to pour over her head. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes it clear that it is sufficient for the women to pour the water over their head and to make sure that their hair gets wet and their scalp gets wet with the water, and that they don't have to take loose their braids. And also we see something in it, though it might be a little indirect, and that is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the men how to wash their hair, and then he told the ladies about the braids, as braids are for women, and this is what is known from the custom of the women and not from the men. There was a statement from the sister. Is there any prohibition in hadith against the women wearing khufs? I don't know of any prohibition for the women wearing khufs. Khufs are the leather socks that, like the brother he has right there. And this is what we wanted to offer from Mustafa Al-Adawi's book on the women issues, and the rest of the issues that he has in this book. They're the issues of a lady's menstrual cycle and the afterbirth bleeding, and the book of Janazah for the women. And we're going to skip that for now, inshallah ta'ala. And next week we're going to begin from another book, and it's from one of the students of Mustafa Al-Adawi, hafidhahullah, and that book deals with the issues around children, raising them and taking care of them, and the verdicts of Islam concerning them. And this relates directly to the women, and inshallah ta'ala we're going to deal with that next week. As for the piece of advice, inshallah ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me successful in what I say and to overlook me for my shortcomings. Marital problems are in the community, and if no one knows it, the people who are involved, they know it. And as this class is for the women, then we're going to make the advice for the women. As for the brothers that are here, I can say from the beginning that sometimes I feel as if there's almost not a week that goes by except that I tell the brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَعَشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that Allah says, I command you to live with your wives in kindness. And that I always advise myself, and I advise the men, that we have to live with our wives in kindness. And the sisters would say that we're the first sinners for not practicing this ayah. The sisters always say we're the first sinners to practicing this ayah. And the sisters used to say advise the men. Now I guess the sisters have no more advice to advise the men and live with the women kindly, because the men, we just won't take that advice. We won't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He commands us to treat the women kindly. This seems to be the hardest commandment on the men, to live with their women in kindness. However, when it's time to get married, there's no ayah better practiced by the men than this ayah to live with them in kindness. He's the best man for the lady when it comes time to marry her. And then soon as he gets her, then this is the last ayah that he wants to practice. I don't know what to say but to advise myself and the brothers, and I hope the brothers advise me, and that we advise one another always to treat our wives kindly. Because I think all of us, we need this reminder every day. And maybe if everyone is trying to remind everyone, then inshallah ta'ala we would fear Allah eventually. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook us for our shortcomings. as for the sisters who are innocent. As for the sisters who are innocent, and all of the sisters are innocent when it comes to us not treating them kindly. All of the sisters are innocent. Except that I want to advise the sisters, listen. Okay, we don't treat you kindly. And we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. But sisters, stop adding to it. And I'm not saying that we're not still wrong because you added to it. We're wrong if you add to it, and if you don't add to it, we're wrong. But it's better if we're wrong and you're safe, instead of us being wrong and you're slapped in the face. It's better for us to be wrong and you're safe than for us to punch you in the eye, choke you, throw you down to the ground. And you can't imagine all of the things that brothers do to the women, unfortunately. And we thought that this was over with, but it still continues. And sisters, when the brothers don't confront them, and it seems that the sisters say, well, what happened when he slapped you in the face? I was in his face. What happened when he punched you in your eye? I pushed him back. What happened when he threw you down? I was grabbing him. I was scratching him. And the sisters were always doing something when the brother did what he did. I slammed the door, threw his food at him. I didn't do something. The sisters just add to it. The brothers are wrong. You think that the sisters would try to calm it down. If the brother is acting like a fool, you think the sister would sit down, be quiet, don't say anything, except, brother, fear Allah. Brother, fear Allah. Brother, fear Allah. Brother, practice the sunnah. Brother, follow the Quran. Brother, please follow the Quran. And even, I think that some of the sisters, they need to sit down or go to a corner in the room and ball up and say, this is how you're going to treat a helpless lady? This is how you're going to treat a helpless lady? Really, no brother can come in and say he was kicking the lady and she was just balled up in a corner of the room saying, fear Allah, akhi, fear Allah. And then he was doing that. Except that the brother is guilty. And the brother is guilty from the beginning. But a lady can do something to make him feel that guilt even more. As she makes herself look more helpless than she is from the beginning, in order to let the man know, look at you. Look at you. I'm a lady in the first place. I'm asking you to fear Allah. I'm your wife. I'm balled up in a corner of the room with my hands over my face saying, please don't. Please don't hit me. The women, they should begin to try to use a language with the men in order to prevent them from going too far. The women, they need to start to use language, and we have mentioned this in our class, that the women weren't really confronting or confrontational to their husbands. And we had covered this chapter with one of the hadith when we were looking at some of the benefits from it, that they wouldn't add to it. That the women, they wouldn't add to the anger of the man when he got mad. Smile at him. And we had mentioned this too in one of our classes on the women of Jannah. I'm not going to sleep, honey, until you're pleased with me. I'm going to do whatever I have to do in order to take that anger that you have for me away. Say things to the brother in order to change him away from that anger into being happy. And I think all of us, and no one should try to belittle anyone's advice, inshallah ta'ala, that all of us are married and we know what it takes to be married, and we know the ups and downs, and we know the struggles, the hardship of being married. But we also know that we have to practice the deen of Islam, and we have to try our best to remain married. We have to try our best to stay married in kindness or if there's going to have to be a separation, that it could be in kindness. If a brother, he can't take his wife and he's weak, he can't be patient with her, with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her with. And this is in a lot of cases. The lady, she's not fornicating, she's not going outside undressed, she's not letting any and everybody in her house that her husband displeases. Rather, she's making her salah, she's fasting, she's obedient to him or chaste, she's in the house, and he's just dogging her out. If he doesn't want her, he should let her go. And the sisters, they should in their own way remind the brothers, you married me in kindness, keep me in kindness. You married me in kindness, keep me in kindness. And that the sisters, they don't have to say either keep me in kindness or let me go in kindness, because this is going to anger the brother. But they can use their word, you married me in kindness, keep me in kindness. And the sister should always be trying to use a way, words, that's going to soften the man's heart, make him feel bad about what he's doing, make him consider his circumstances, make him overlook it. But really, the sisters, just because you're justified doesn't mean that you should still be confrontational with the men. Because all of this, really, we don't have the community like we need, where we have a police force and we have all of this and we have a judge and we have a court system and we're going to hold the brothers accountable for what takes place. We're just here trying to practice Islam and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all that's not really in place. And really, astaghfirullah, this is because as men we're weak and we haven't done what we're supposed to do for our women in general. And the women are just subjected to our weaknesses, you know, to the consequences of our weakness, of our weaknesses. And because of that, the sisters should use some measures that's going to safeguard themselves and their families by trying to be non-confrontational with the brothers. And the sisters have to be creative and talk among themselves. Oh, well, how do you do it, sister? Oh, well, my husband gets angry, you know, I just try to grab his hand and, you know, please, please don't be mad with me. What did I do? Or, you know, the other sisters might be saying whatever they say. I try to cook him his best meal. I try to iron his best robe for him. I try to do something. You know, the sisters should talk amongst themselves to give one another's ideas. All of us weren't the best, the most creative people, and we need advice and reminders from the people. And we should start making this some of the talk among the sisters. How do you make your husband happy? And I'm not saying that the sisters are supposed to talk about that which goes on between a lady and her husband in private. But you know, to kind of be general in some of the things that the women could say to one another, that or the steps that they take in order to calm their husband down. When he gets angry with me, I just don't say anything. Or I smile. Or I laugh. Or whatever, you know, that works in order to calm the men down. But the sisters, I think that they have to start talking amongst themselves in order to help themselves out. Because if the sisters don't start to help one another, and as brothers, we're trying to help one another, to advise one another, and it's going to be a struggle, and maybe it's going to be some time, and the sisters, they have to advise one another too, and not to be like we hear so often, oh, that brother's like that? You better do the khula thing, as they say. Do the khula thing on him. He don't want to act? Do the khula thing on him. And really, the sisters are seeking these khulas, and they're not valid. The sisters are seeking these khulas, and they're not valid. And whoever seeks it for other than a valid reason won't smell the fragrance of paradise. And we've even heard some sisters went so far as to say, okay, I just won't smell the fragrance of paradise, I'm still going to be there. And this is understanding, or the arrogance of the sisters. And the sisters should put those sisters in check when they make these type of statements. to scold the sisters. Tell them, don't make those statements. I'm ashamed of you. You know, to do not a serious boycott like the boycott of the deviants of Masjid al-Dirar, but a little cold shoulder to the sister. What's wrong, our sister? Are you not happy? Is something wrong with you today? No, nothing's wrong with me, sister. Something's wrong with you. You're going around encouraging the other sisters to divorce their husbands, to be confrontational with their husbands. And you know, this has an effect. Where the person, they're trying to think something's wrong with you, and then you let them know, no, it was you. And you shouldn't act like this. And I don't even want to talk to you why you act like this. And then after that, you know, to be back nice with the sister, to be sisters in Islam, and to advise one another. But really the sisters, they have to start looking, because really lately it's been just too much. Too much. It's just been too many cases between the husbands and the wives. And we can argue and debate on who's right all day long. And that still doesn't change really the atrocities that we're having in the households of the Muslims. What difference does it make who's right? The sister is saying, look at my eye. This is proof who's right. And he's trying to explain, well, she, what difference does it make who's right or who's wrong? The sister got a black eye. Tell me what man is happy to look at a beautiful lady with a black eye? Nobody. But we don't think about that when we do it. So really the sisters, they need to start backing down a little bit. And that if they really feel threatened, they still can be kind and take it easy. And then they can address their complaint if it's really serious. Inshallah, and the brothers at the masjid, we can try to look into the sister's case. But not to be so hasty, as everyone seems to be so hasty. Oh, I thought he was going to kill me. Why, what did he do? He didn't eat the dinner. He usually eats every day he comes home. He didn't eat. He just went to the room angry. I didn't know what he might do to me. Really, the sisters don't need to be so hasty either. And the brothers, if you feel that you don't know what he might do to you, this should be the main question that the sisters ask before they marry. I want to know if that brother has a history of hitting women. Did he ever hit a lady before? Since he's been a Muslim, did he ever hit a lady before? To start questioning to this. Instead, the sisters, and I'm ashamed at the sisters' levels of modesty. And this doesn't go for everyone, of course. Sisters looking to get married. So-and-so, I want to check him out. You want to check so-and-so out, sister? Yeah. I heard he was interested in me. He asked, who is my wali? How in the world is a brother interested in you? He doesn't know your wali. He looking at somebody's wife. He don't know the wali. Tell me he ain't looking at somebody's wife. Because the real Muslim man on the deen, on the sunnah, he goes to the wali. Akhi, I'm looking to get married. I'm a Muslim man, inshallah. This is what I have to offer, and I'm looking to get married. You find a real Muslim man on this deen, he's checking women out. Then he says, Akhi, you know about so-and-so, sister so-and-so? Know her name and everything. Yeah, you know, who's her wali? The sister's married. Astaghfirullah. Ya Akhi, we don't have any shame to be looking at somebody's wife. And then we think it's extreme to go to the wali first. We think it's extreme to go to the wali. We think it's better to chance looking at somebody's wife instead of going to it. Who's happy with the men looking at their wives? I know I'm the last person to be happy somebody looking at my wife. He has a... Wallahi, akhi, even in Jahiliyyah, a lot of us, we didn't like that thing. And really, if it wasn't for Islam, a lot of the brothers would get their eyes punched out for looking at the sisters, because they don't know how to lower their gaze and step to the side when the sisters go. Wallahi, the sisters are trying to go, and the brothers make the path so narrow, the sister almost has to touch the brothers to get by. And then the brothers say, oh, the sisters ain't have to come this way. They didn't. But when they do, step aside. And if you get a chance to advise the sisters, advise them. Oh, sisters, it's very difficult for the men to move out the way. We're doing our best. I wish you choose another path the next time. But you stand there in the sister's face, looking her down, and then come back and tell the brothers, yeah, you know them sisters coming over this way, so on and so forth. Really, this is shameful on the brothers. And shameful on the sisters that they want to consider a brother like that. Yahi, can you tell me about brother so-and-so, because he's inquiring about me. And he didn't know who's my wali. So I want you to go tell him you're the wali, so that we can see what's up. He just look at you like you're a piece of meat, you want to check him out. He didn't even have the deen to ask walis, do you have sisters of a particular character? Now, when the wali tells the brother your character, she goes for a man who looks at her like a piece of meat. The brother's going to say, Akhi, why are you dogging the sister out? The sister want to get married, and I heard she asked about me. Why you want to stand in the way? Really, this is shameful for the sisters. And the sisters should be turning down the brothers who come to their wali saying, I know sister so-and-so, and I want to marry her. I found her name out. You know, I was looking around for the wali. You're the wali. The sisters say, get out of here with that stuff. Man, we practicing Islam. Somebody really wanted me, he would have went to my wali first and then found out what's going on. And this is why we're trying to make the announcement now, every day in the masjid, for the walis and the brothers who are looking to get married, to make themselves known, so that we can keep the brothers away from this lewdness that they've fallen into, and that we can keep the sisters more modest than they've been in the past by considering this. Because then when the problem comes, you find that they're not compatible. And they knew it from Jump Street. What made them do it? What they saw. But when what they saw is over with, and all of us know it wears out. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us advice ahead of time. When you see something, you like a brother, you see a lady in the street, you make a mistake and you see something and you like it, go home to your wife. Go home to your wife. Because indeed she has what she has. Now wallahi, after the first night or two or week or whatever, the honeymoon's over, she has what she has. Yeah, that's what it is. And then the issue of compatibility comes into play. And the issue of marriage and working this thing out is real serious now. And everyone knows the misery that marriage can offer if you're not compatible. Because once the fire just dies off and you gotta work things out, say, nah, it ain't worth it. Wallahi, it was worth it yesterday when you saw the sister. Why it ain't worth it today? So really, the sisters, they should help in this, and not to entertain these brothers who are just checking them out, to even entertain it. And it happens a lot. And even some of the sisters thought I was crazy to even advise them. He just look at you, he don't even know who's in charge of you. He don't know nothing about you except what was seen. And he wants to marry you, and you're going to consider him? Yeah, he been wanting to marry me for a long time. He don't know nothing about you. He don't even know who your wali is. And if he knows something about you, who told him? He knows something about you, who told him? Sisters going around telling their husband's business so their husbands can go tell people about other sisters? I mean, how's somebody going to know about a sister if they don't go to the wali? sisters, they have to try to be a little more modest in helping the brothers to lower their gaze also. The sisters, they have to help out in this thing. And the advice, don't worry sisters, as some of the sisters say, well, what you going to tell the brothers? That's another issue. What are the sisters going to do to help these marriages, to keep away from fighting and problems and whatever? What are the sisters going to do? The sisters, they have to do their part, and they have to stand in there and to hang in there, not to be so confrontational with the brothers, inshallah ta'ala, and to advise the sisters likewise. And the mothers, they have to start teaching their daughters how to be husbands. Teaching their daughters how to be better wives to their future husbands. Seriously. You know, women, they've been married, they have children, they know how to take care of a man, how to please a man, and they need to start teaching their daughters this. And the sons, we need to start teaching our sons how to treat a wife, how to make her feel like a lady, how to take care of her, and so on and so forth, so that when they grow up, they don't wind up just like us. And our state is just terrible. Wallahi, sometimes when we hear the cases of marriage and divorce, and every masjid, everywhere that I've heard, what's the biggest problem at your masjid? Money, this, that. No. Marriage and divorce is the biggest problem in everybody's masjid. And every imam feels overburdened. And this is a part that we had mentioned before. This is a part of knowing your mate. Knowing when they're angry and what calms them down when they're angry. And what better thing could a lady learn to help her marriage than to know what makes her husband angry and what calms him down when he gets angry? It's almost as if she is the most successful lady who knows this. Because how is her husband going to be mad? She's going to stay away from those things that gets him mad. So it's not going to take place. Then if he gets mad because of other than her, she knows how to calm him down, so it's like he's never going to be mad. How would a marriage be if the husband was never angry? How would the marriage be if the husband was never angry? I mean, this is what the sisters are looking for. Okay, learn it. Alright, men are just men. I mean, subhanallah al-azim. Allah created us like He created us. Alhamdulillah. And the men, we want to be strong, we want to be macho, we want to be in charge, we want to be running things, we want to be always right. Okay, that's it. We just told you how we are. Alright, the sisters have to learn how to work around that and deal with that, inshallah ta'ala. And we've advised the brothers, and that's going to come with how the sisters are, and the brothers have to learn how their wives are and to keep their wives from not getting mad. Oh, my wife doesn't obey me. Okay, what could you do to make her obey you? All we want to look at is just to blame her. Okay, she's guilty. Now what you want to do? Can you do something that will encourage your wife to obey you more? Can you do something that can encourage your wife to please you more? Wallahi, this is like a job. And our minds should be working, as this is the completion of half of our deen. Our minds should be working on how to make this marriage better, how to keep this marriage strong, how to please our partners. This is a part of our deen. We shouldn't just take it for granted, oh, I'm married, I got it like that. Sure. And really, I hear that some people think it. As one of the brothers was saying, you ain't pull one you ain't pull one sister in jahiliyyah. Now you have Islam and the wali hook it up for you, you know. Now you don't even take advantage of it. Dog this sister out after that. Really, this issue of marriage, it's like a full-time job. And we have to think, and we were trying to emphasize this before, but this is now. Wallahi, the men, we have to look at what is going to make your wife happy, akhi. Wallahi, it's from the lady to be obedient to her husband and to be kind to her husband and so on. If she's not, well, what are we doing to add to that? Instead of saying, oh, my wife's disobedient. What you doing, akhi? What are we doing? You know, so this is on our side, but the sister's the same thing. Your husband, he's upset, he's angry, whatever. You have to do something. Because all of us, really, everybody, and I'm looking at the brothers now, nobody seems to be angry. So, it's proof. And when we married you, nobody, wallahi, you find somebody furious at the lady before he married her. The wali sets up everything, it looks like they're compatible when he meets her. He says, sister, listen up, this is how it's going to be. You got that? Nobody is all like that with the sister from the beginning. Wallahi, when, so you know your husband has a time when he can be calm, loving, caring. Remember that. Remember the, his statements before he married you. Wallahi, akhi, and the brothers know. You be thinking for the brothers single or looking to marry. You have the finest lines for the sisters, and the sisters then heard the best rap, walhamdulillah. Yeah, wallahi, straight up, this is how we are, because we know we want to get married. Okay, the sisters know that we have that in us. Alright, bring that out of us again. You have what it takes to bring it out of us when we got married. Bring it out of us again. And when you're not, work on it. And the sisters, they have to work. And wallahi, alhamdulillah, you find that there are sisters. And those sisters, they should try to advise the other sisters. Sisters are working on it. And sisters should talk with the other sisters. And I remember, and I'll end it with this, when we were in Arabia, that there were women from South Africa, and they were raised as Muslim women, and their only talk, they were in the Quran school, memorizing Quran, and then on the breaks the sisters would talk. The women from South Africa only talked about one thing: pleasing their husbands. Yeah, my husband, he likes this. Well, what are you doing on such and such day? I'm trying to figure out what would be the best dinner for my husband on the end of the week. Everything. Until some of the American sisters said, man, what do y'all do, worship your husband? What do you do, worship? All you talk about, girls, is your husbands. They ain't God. They make mistakes. Wallahi, when I heard it, I said, subhanallah, Allah, what would make a man better than to have a lady, all she can think about is pleasing her husband? Wallahi, what's going to make a man better than you? All she thinks about, and it's a lot of women, wallahi, all day long, all they're trying to figure out is, how can I prepare that meal tonight? Every night the sister is looking at, what am I going to do that when he eat this, all he's going to do is just love me? Wallahi, the sisters are looking for that. Wallahi, brothers, maybe some brothers, they love their clothes ironed a particular way. Maybe they want their drink at a certain time. Men, you know, we have our own little problems, you know. And we like things that seem to be so silly and stupid. And you can ask all of the women, what about the husbands? They like little boys. It's amazing what makes them happy. Really, all of us, we have our little, every man. And the women, they just have to work at that. And women, you should encourage one another to just try to work at making your husband happy, taking it as a job to make your husband happy. And don't quit. Ah, I try to please him. Wallahi, for a whole 3 days straight, I did everything to please him. He didn't go for it. For a whole week straight, for a whole month straight, wallahi, it takes years. And years and years. All of us. And ask the brothers who've been married for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, is it over? Wallahi, we still trying to think of ways to make our mates more pleased with us. And it ain't never over. And the people with good marriages, you find the man, he's trying to please his wife. Oh, akhi. Yeah, I see your wife got you, you know, tied around the finger. Then the brother, now he got to brag. Now, I wasn't buying those flowers. I was just checking them out, you know. See how much it costs. Nah. A brother, he's looking at his watch. I got to go home. Hey. got you on a, sister got you on a curfew. Allahu Akbar. Man can't even run his own house. Really, we shouldn't even be saying these statements to one another. And that man, alhamdulillah, may Allah strengthen his marriage. For being conscious of when to go home, what to buy, when to buy, how to act, when to call, when not to call. All of this stuff. We have to take all of this stuff into consideration. When to take a break, when to take them out, when to do this, when not to do that. Just constantly looking. And the sisters, they have to be constantly looking all the time. What is going to make my husband happy? Because we were happy the day we got married, and that happiness can stay with us until we meet Allah, if we do what it takes. Wallahi, the sisters are preparing their case like they're queens before they got married. Is there any sister that says, I'm a no good lady, disobedient to her husband, and I'm going to make you miserable, so please marry me right now? No lady is going to tell her husband. Really, wallahi, no lady is going to tell a man that. In the beginning, she went to all means in order to make her case the best case, so the brother would go for her. And the brothers, wallahi, we know we have the best lines for the sisters. And the walis, they know. Because we heard the lines. Wallahi, akhi, brothers have made lines of astaghfirullah. Maybe the walis want to marry the brothers. And this is just an exaggeration, just to show us really how the brother's acts are together when he's presenting his case to get married. While we can't do that every single week, maybe, alright, we're weak, we can't do it every single day, but really we should be trying to be on it like that with our wives all the time. Not just before it's time to get married, but all the time working. We'll just end this with, sisters, listen, we're just guilty. If that's how you want to label us, we're guilty, and I'm the first one to admit it, was astaghfirullah. But now, sisters, just try to make it your job to be better and to make us more happy, because inshallah this would be better for our marriages. And if there was anything good said, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we praise Him, walhamdulillah. And if there was anything wrong or bad or offensive, then it's from me, wa astaghfirullah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And we make our last dua. Oh Allah, purify our hearts and correct our marital situations. Ameen. We'll take the questions after the van, inshallah.
Encouraging us to be kind to our wives and live in kindness. You know, it's not how big women, they like to be aggressive and always challenging the men. And inshallah, I feel like encouraging the sisters that, you know, it don't have to be so much aggressiveness going on. I don't justify nobody beating no woman down, punching them in the eye, so on and so on. I've never been a person in that character. And alhamdulillah, I'm very happy with my wife, but sometimes I just make mention about that aggressive stage sometimes. Like, sometimes sisters can, like, put a brother in a category where he can feel like a child or a little boy sometimes. I'm not, like, striving to always be right or anything like that there. But men just need to be able to be men. And I don't mean like bossing somebody around and telling them to shut up and sit down. You can't castrate a man. If you take a man's manhood away from him, which you can't do it because he's still going to be a man, But some women just take the manhood away from the man. They don't allow him to say anything.
Yeah, this was the point that we were trying to get across, that the sisters need to stop being so aggressive, confrontational. And even the men, wallahi, we should take it. When the women do it, we should be taking some of that stuff. Wallahi, we know we ain't no Mr. King or Mr. Man where we can't take the sister being aggressive. And if she make us feel like a little boy, wallahi, we should feel like little boys because we didn't do anything. And whoever wants to put himself in check, just look at what we have established in this society for our women. Nothing. So, and we men, why we can't establish nothing for our women? Like all of the other men in the world, they establish communities for their women. Banks. So look at the Catholics. They establish all this stuff for their women. What we establish for our women? We should be able to take a little something. We ain't did nothing. At least a little something. It's a lot.
What I
want to
talk about was my experience, you know.
Yeah, let's wait till after
Salah. It's just a short statement about the kindness and the doubt. This is the greatest complaint that they have against the Salaf movement everywhere I've been. So sometimes I think it's a good idea to have some kindness with the doubt. You know, I agree with your point that whether a person give it to you hard or they give it to you soft, mainly our problem is that we don't have spiritual maturity. Most of us haven't striven to develop ourselves in deed.
No, really, this is the statement of the people who don't want the dawah. Let me hear someone who have accepted the dawah say that. No one who have accepted the dawah said that. It's only the people who don't. You still see him beardless. Oh, he came to me like this, akhi. Let's see somebody with a beard like this.
I have seen people that are striving, serious Muslims for many, many years. You know, they're in other mosques and they're saying this. You know, yeah, the person's
going to your heart. I haven't seen one.
In Philadelphia, I've seen it.
All right, show us those
and
brothers.
In Washington, D.C., and they say, but this
it's
just...
It's brothers that's practicing this deen, on this deen. And they got a complaint that the people are bringing it too hard. Wallahi, let us find those brothers. Yeah. Alright, we was there in Philly, we ain't seen them yet. We haven't seen them yet.
No, I mean, you know, put the men on at home.
Alright.
There's nothing wrong with it. Could it be considered lending someone in your house by taking the information from your house and then putting them in your business?
Yeah, let's carry the discussion, inshallah. To go outside after Maghrib. This is for the children, not the women. And maybe some brothers misunderstood, or they thought that the women were like the children, so that the women should stay in the house after Maghrib. This is for the children and not for the women. And I'm not saying that to encourage the women to be outside all night long, but I'm just saying that some women, they think that there's a prohibition of being outside after Maghrib, and there's no prohibition for the sisters being outside after Maghrib. There were two points that we're dealing with. I'll get to that. The first point was, inshallah, jazakallah khair. If the brothers, and we say if the brothers were practicing the deen, except that they felt that the brothers who followed the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the righteous predecessors, they were too hard. If they were practicing the deen, they wouldn't have any complaint. They wouldn't have anything to advise them with.
Okay.
The brothers who are practicing the deen, what are you going to go advise them with? And it would be rare that someone would point something out to them because of their practicing the deen. I've seen many brothers in the masjid, alhamdulillah, they look like they're striving, practicing the deen. I don't remember going to them with one piece of advice. Akhi, no, not like that, like this. So the brothers are trying to learn and practice Islam. You find this from the people who don't want to practice Islam. And this is why they say the people are always on me. They're against me because they're not practicing Islam. And inshallah, on Saturday when we get to Philly, we want to see those brothers practicing Islam, that the people are just being too hard on them, advising them.
Wallahi, they're ignorant. They don't have a lot of knowledge about deen. They haven't did a lot of studying. They work hard. They take care of their family. And they come to the masjid and pray. And they make their salah. But the problem is that they don't have a lot of knowledge. See? And when somebody coming to them about something they don't know and they're being hard on them, it's affecting their feelings because of their ignorance. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, with the kindness, you know, it moves them because they want this anyway. So sometimes the kindness helps too. That's the only complaint that I heard in Philly, and I heard some of it in D.C. Yes. And I
now,
in Philly and D.C.
Now the point is they don't know much about the deen. That's, wallahi, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And yeah, really, on these points, and I saw it in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm,
it can't be more than 6 points that the people point out. Akhi, your pants too long. Akhi, don't listen to music. Akhi, what about those pictures? Akhi, the beard. Ain't but 5 or 6 points that the brothers harp on all the time anyway. In Philly and in Washington. Wallahi, you can get down to 9 issues in 1 point, in one sitting. The brothers don't have nothing against you. I've seen it everywhere. Wallahi, it only takes but 9 points. That's all of it. Because the brothers pointing the finger.
Stuff like brothers from Tabligh Jamaat who are used to like soft, kind approaches. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, but those brothers are used to not practicing the sunnah, so when someone brings it to them, then they have a complaint.
I'm saying, seriously, I'm talking about the brothers that I know for years that when they learn something about deen, they on it.
If it comes from the Tablighi Jamaat.
It doesn't have to come from Tablighi Jamaat.
That's the norm.
From I'm talking.
That's their program, though.
Yeah, but that's not...
Their program is, brothers. Don't learn from nobody
but
else.
That's not these
come brothers. From us.
But that's not these brothers.
If it's not them, they wouldn't be Tablighi.
No, I'm serious. They go...
They wouldn't be Tablighi.
I'm telling you, these brothers...
Why are they going on somebody's Jamaat? Because they're on somebody's program other than...
Once again, it's small.
Yeah, that knowledge jammed them up.
Personally, I'm saying if the brothers from the Salaf movement come to them and give them the da'wah with the kindness, it'll move them away from the bid'ah that they practice.
You think so?
I'm sure.
Alright, bring one of them here. Bring one of them here. I'm going to bring the brother with the best kindness to tell him, get off that deviance and that foolishness. And we're going to see if he get off of it. Okay? Bring all of those brothers round, every single one of them up. We're going to get the best brother with the best character, and we're going to let everyone witness. He gonna hang on that deviant with kind treatment.
Maybe some people will, but
that's
one example. This one kind brother, and we came through together. I spent time with Jamaat too. And the brothers approached him, with the kindness. Knowing how this brother, you probably know him, Nordin.
Whoever Allah guides, there's none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, and there's no guide for them. It's upon the people to accept the truth.
I'm not making an argument with that point.
So the brothers know.
I have spiritual maturity, and it ain't no problem.
The brothers know.
But some people don't.
Really, let's end this point off with one statement.
Okay, I'm just going to.
There's no brothers more kinder and with better character than the brothers on the Dawah to Salafiyya.
I'm from Ryan, Philadelphia, man. Your brothers are mutants,
Let's go to the other point, which was the sister's class, inshallah ta'ala. That was a sister is bringing something that was talked about in the household outside of it, like bringing somebody in the house. The sisters are supposed to guard the brothers everything in his absence. And if she's talking about it, it's like she's not guarding it. She's talking about it, it's like she's not guarding it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But the sister said, I would really appreciate it if you have a talk on recreation activities of the Muslim family soon. I hope someone gives that talk, because you can ask my wife. She said, I'm the first one that needs to go to that lecture. I don't know, you know. I kind of like work more than recreation. And if someone has something to offer, inshallah ta'ala, they can offer for the Muslims. Otherwise, inshallah, I think soon we're going to talk to the believers about some recreational activities, inshallah, when we talk about the new masjid. Masjid, let the sunnah go forth, that we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what it takes to move into that masjid, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know if there was anything left around this issue.
It's a wali problem, so what I'm saying is that brothers knowing who the wali is. So when you give the talk there, you know, you can.
Inshallah ta'ala. We've been trying, and we'll tell the sisters again, and we've been telling the brothers, all of the brothers who are walis, they should come to see the imam, and all of the brothers that are interested in getting married, they should come see the imam, so that they can square that away. And we have to all be mindful of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sultan waliyun liman la waliya la, that the leader is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. And that hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, as a community, we will practice this hadith that we have yet to practice. Wallahu musta'an. Yes, sir.
Now, I was just
going to
reiterate what you were saying, that there's no leadership in Philly, this college. There's no separation with the deviant and the people supposed to practice in the sunnah. There's no separation. Like, out here, you could hardly see the people on Tabligh Jama'at, but they to themselves. Out there, everybody is with each other, the people with Waladin, the people with the Tabligh, the people supposed to be in the sunnah. Everybody goes to each other's masjid. There's no leadership out there. There's nobody teaching the deen. So, you know, they're not used to adhering to the deen like out here. That's why a lot of brothers move here from there. That's why I moved here from there.
That's why I'm coming.
No, they have leadership, though. The leadership just has to be followed.
The leadership is an invisible one. It is. I'm going to tell you, this is not going to lie around here. Who it is, they're invisible.
No, the leadership is there and they're visible. Maybe the obedience to the leadership is invisible.
No. The connection to the community of the leadership and them touching base with the community and their needs is invisible.
That's true.
Listen. If that was really the fault, it's the brother's fault for not helping the leadership to take care of what it has to take care of. And this is our fault, that we always put the fault on someone else.
But I'm not saying put the fault like that, but I'm saying brothers go to the imams and talk to them.
No, they go to them and tell them what to do. Listen, you're the imam,
no.
You got to do this.
No,
and if you don't do that, we're going to say you're invisible.
The same situation you was talking about when you gave the lecture about
anyway, it's just the point is all of us know
about the people not having masjid, but really they like having places, clubs. Like,
no, that's not my
thing. I own this mosque.
No, that's not my
thing. And the imam is like,
that's somebody else's statement.
Okay, anyway, I'm saying you gave a class about.
No, our class is that this is a bad statement.
Okay,
and that the Muslims go to the masjid, walhamdulillah. And when the people see them in large numbers like this in the masjid, they say, oh, that's just a club. Anybody rallying, everybody up with their groups. Not people happy to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who not in the houses of Allah, they say that they form in clubs. That's why I don't go. This is just people giving an excuse.
Well, what I'm trying to say, I'm
not
trying
to
say that.
But this was that statement. We heard it.
Okay, imams in Philadelphia, some of the imams have they got control of the masjid. And if you don't do it their way, It ain't happening. You dare
that's how it's supposed to be.
Take you out of the mosque.
That's how it's supposed to be.
They call this place the house of Allah.
No, but that's how it's supposed to be.
They kick people out of the mosque for doing what Allah says to do.
Listen.
And Abdul Haq can bear witness. I'm right here. He can bear witness to the situation when he lived with me.
Listen. Everybody have to obey the leadership. And we, alhamdulillah, listen, that ain't no problem. That ain't the problem. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he already gave us guidance if the leadership doesn't establish salat in the proper time. If the leaders establish the salat time outside of the right salat time, you still gotta go establish the jama'ah with the leader in the wrong salat time and make your salat at home in the correct time. This is Islam. We doing that? Wallahi, we the ones that fell short. We keep trying to put the finger on him, he guilty.
But that's not what I'm saying. It's not that. You know,
it is good.
We'll talk about it another time, inshallah. You know, because we can go back and forth. But what I'm saying, the person bought the masjid, or the person's family gave him the masjid, he didn't make it the house of Allah.